Friday, March 27th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 18, verse 21, with a message titled, Where It All Goes From Here.
If I were living in Iran or North Korea, I could say Satan's greatest tool is the oppressive government. For us, Babylon has seduced us. It's used every kind of sinful temptation in a free society that it can. Adultery, pornography, prosperity, idolatry, on and on and on and on to seduce us. And what chapter 18 is saying is the Lord saying, I've had it with what Babylon's done to you. I've had it.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn tonight to the last book of the Bible. If you're visiting, we're working through Revelation, and we're almost through this book. Tonight we are in chapter 18, verses 21, and we will read through 19, verse 10. 19, verse 10 of the book of Revelation, last book of the Bible, chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Context to this chapter is judgment on Babylon, This is the word of the Lord. Let's begin at verse 21 of chapter 18. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeteers will be heard in you no more. And a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of a bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints, and of all who have been slain on earth. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying out, Alleluia, salvation and glory and power belongs to our God, for his judgments are true and just, for he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Once more they cried out, Alleluia, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And from the throne a voice came, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, pure and bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And there ends the reading of God's word tonight. Well, I've said repeatedly through our study in the book of Revelation that one of the blessings of living in a world full of so much escalation of turmoil is that we are really beginning to see things more clearly. And things that the scriptures have said a long time seem to be taking on a lot more meaning for us. I had more response when I least expected it. And this is how it always goes to keep me humble. But the sermons that I think are terrible are the ones you like. I never can figure that out. That's just how it always goes. But last Sunday night, I probably had, in my years here, probably the most response. It was really encouraging, but I was kind of puzzled. Maybe it was because I quoted Hotel California, I don't know. But I asked one of the elders, why the response? Why do you think there was such response to that sermon? He said, Pastor, because everything you're preaching from Revelation, we are seeing so clearly unfold before our eyes in society. We're deeply troubled by everything we're seeing. The divisions, the wars, Vegas, all this stuff. This stuff is poisoning our minds, and it's constantly before us, and it's always being thrown at us, and we never know what's coming next. What is coming next? It's just another thing. What is the next thing? What is the new thing this week that's going to happen? But we come to Revelation, and we see that everything this book is telling us is true. what a way to confirm our faith, isn't it? As we're hearing this and seeing these things happen in front of us. It's a living word. This word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's rightly diagnosing exactly what we're seeing happening. That's what Revelation's been doing for us. And this was written way back in AD 90, wasn't it? Well, I hope you've been encouraged, because as you feel the pressure of living in Babylon, and as Babylon is crumbling all around you, and all of this is distressing, and we worry about the future, and we think about these things, Revelation has a wonderful message for you, and that message has been steadily the whole way through. This has never been your home to begin with. It hasn't. Truth be told, we, like this morning, we've enjoyed such a good reign of peace and prosperity that we were blessed to live in that time, and we're thankful to enjoy that in this life. It's been that kind of life for us here. But because of that, we've forgotten the real struggle, haven't we? And now that things turn so quickly and we see how societies change and where things can go, and how now the system works of beast and antichrist and the false prophet, and how Babylon is functioning, upheaval marks our society. We're understanding this thing's under judgment. It's what Revelation's telling us. And now you're much more ready to listen to what the Bible's telling you as you actually see this unfold. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. You're hearing the message a little clearer now. You don't have an enduring city here. Our home is not of this world. We look for another city whose builder and maker is God. And that's where we're being taken tonight. That's the beauty of this. We have a feast held out for us. We have something we're aiming towards, somewhere we're going. Paul called it an upward calling from God in Christ. And so that's what's being captured tonight here, is the finality of Babylon's fall. Babylon is done here in Revelation now. We are dealing with Babylon. We're going to look in chapter 19 that the beast is going to be dealt with and the false prophet. We'll see what God does to them. But here's Babylon's end. And as we come to Babylon's end, what is then described immediately after this is a glorious celebration in heaven. Everything you've been waiting for, everything you've been looking for, is now described. The feast that we're all waiting for in glory is where this ends up tonight. So the effect of this and the purpose of this is to say, hold on just a little bit longer. Everything that has been promised, everything that has been preached to you, everything you've been told, here it is, it's coming soon, and I'll give you a little detail and explanation into it tonight so that you keep your eyes on it. It's coming. That's the purpose of this. So we're looking at the finality of Babylon's fall and the beginning of the eternal feast. Such a beautiful section tonight that is described for us. Chapter 18 of Revelation must have meant a lot to the Holy Spirit. That's a long one, isn't it? John was really affected by chapter 18. There was a lot of detail about Babylon's fall there. It's telling us how committed God is to Babylon's fall. If you're a visitor tonight, we looked at what Babylon means, and we looked at its symbol using the graphic imagery of a prostitute and everything that she does to lure us in, to take us away from the worship of Jesus. It's everything of this world system, everything that's pulling us away, everything that seduces us in all forms in a cup is pictured there, a golden cup of abominations. You have a million things that are in that cup that we are offered to take us away and try to lead us away from Jesus. All of these bad things Babylon has done. It's pictured as a prostitute who is persecuting us. who hates us. And that's the point. Dennis Johnson, in his commentary on Revelation, I thought asked a really important question that I want to quote tonight. I think it's really helpful to look at this. And this is, it answers why 18 and 19 are so important in addressing Babylon's fall. Which is the dragon's, he asks, more dangerous weapon as he assaults the church in our time and place? Is it the beast symbolic of the state's power, think of this morning, to intimidate through violent persecution and martyrdom? Is it that? Is it the beast symbolic of the state's power to intimidate through violent persecution and even martyrdom? Or is it the beauty, the harlot, the portrait of the culture's power to seduce through intoxicating idolatry of prosperity and the alluring invitation to adulterous compromise? What's more dangerous? Get that last part? The culture's power to seduce through intoxicating idolatry of prosperity and the alluring invitation to adulterous compromise. Well, I think you know the answer. I think you know the answer to that. Has the political powers of our time and the days you've lived intimidated you through violent persecution? You known that? I haven't. I know many Christians around the world have, but I haven't known that. But I'll tell you what I have been pressed with is Babylon's seduction. And that's been really hard to live in. That's been really hard to live in and maintain the cause of Christ, to maintain a loyalty, to maintain a heart that worships Him. It gets pulled this way and that way all the time. If I were living in Iran or North Korea, I could say Satan's greatest tool is the oppressive government. But I'm not saying that. That may change. For us, Babylon has seduced us. It's used every kind of sinful temptation in a free society that it can. Adultery, pornography, prosperity, idolatry, on and on and on and on to seduce us. And what chapter 18 is saying is the Lord saying, I've had it with what Babylon's done to you. I've had it. Even though everything's draped in purple, even though everything looks beautiful, even though everything looks strong, even though the city of Babylon looks promising, even though all of this looks like it'll go on forever, even though it's so promising and offers us so much, I see what it's doing to you and your children. This is what the Lord's telling us. You have got to look with me through the appearances and see Babylon as a whore. That's the Revelation graphic language is of chapter 17. It promises you all this stuff. It seduces you away. It lures your children, and it martyrs you that way. So you don't think of martyrdom that way, do you? It's trying to martyr you that way. This is why I quoted the Hotel California, where he could say, we're in the receiving business, but you never leave. He understood it. Babylon, said Revelation 18, is fallen. Babylon is fallen. It's a prison. It's a pit for everything unclean. It's full of all kinds of demonic activity. I know you feel trapped in it at times. It's coming down, this whole system. The earthly city is coming down. The world as a center of seduction. A pleasure-mad, hedonistic society. A world in which you live that desires to pull you in and to hold you and to keep you, and for you to find happiness in it, and then it tries to destroy you. Remember the beautiful call that came out last time. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, lest you share in those sins and the plague she's receiving. You're mine. I purchased you with the blood of Jesus. You're my people. Don't join your bodies. That's what 1 Corinthians said in 1 Corinthians 6. We are the members of Christ. Shall we take as our bodies the members of Christ and join it with a prostitute? See, you understand that now, don't you? Well, now we have what Revelation doing is describing the climax of Babylon's fall. And everything that goes with it that has lured us is here captured in a kind of stage process. So notice what's mentioned here in verse 22. Notice here that everything goes with Babylon in the fall that has lured us away. And lo and behold, what do you have mentioned? Verse 22, the sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters, tears shall not be heard in you anymore. Her music's done. How much power does music have in this society? Really? Do you need me to unpack that? You know how much power music has. And look at the voices and look what they're saying to you in the words at times. I'm not saying all secular music we can't listen to. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is you know its power. You know how it has been a mouthpiece of the devil. You know what it says. It's done. I'm taking it all away. And then he says, her craftsmen are gone. Can you imagine a city with no craftsmen, nobody working, all the stuff, it's over. And then he moves on and he says, all the happiness is taken out of her. The voice of a bridegroom and the bride shall not be found in you anymore. That we think of the beauty of a wedding. Everything in Babylon that he's talking about here is everything that is luxury and seduction that it has offered us in life to take us away into to ease and carelessness, he's put an end to. Why? Because she's been martyring us. She's been martyring us. She's martyring your children. She's trying. She's been killing people with this seduction for a long time. This is what I was trying to read to you from Glenn Frey last week. He got it. He saw it. He knew it. He loved it. But he couldn't get out of it. And so verse 24 plainly says it, doesn't it? It says, the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who are slain on the earth by her. Martyrdom is taken in two ways at times. Martyrdom is taken as actually the beast rising up in persecution like we talked about this morning and putting a stop, putting an end to people's lives. Or martyrdom is the woman martyring us and our children this way. You have to think about it that way. Now, as I came here last week, I was studying this. I thought to myself, I think we need a lot more righteous anger against Babylon than we have. When you see it clearly, when you see that this city stands in contrast to the city that is held out for you, where righteousness dwells and true happiness with the Lord, it is something that when the Lord calls us out, we should be so thankful to be called out of it. Revelation is unmasking it. It's showing us that it's ugly. This has no hope. So here was the most important verse for me this last week as I was reading this and reflecting on it. It was this verse, the first verse, verse 21, that we considered tonight. Listen to this language. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it in the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and be found no more. This was a great millstone from a mill that was turned by an animal weighing a weight that no man could lift. Okay? What John understood was, by this symbol, was that once Babylon is fallen, it's never coming back. It's done forever. I was thinking to myself, we know this, some of the details, not all the details have been revealed, but when President Obama and the SEALs, when they had captured Osama bin Laden, they took his body way out to the middle of the ocean because they didn't want the thing enshrined and worshipped. And they put a stone around that body and dropped it to the bottom of the sea. I thought to myself, what an image, huh? What an image. Did you hear what was just said? He took the stone, put it around the woman's neck, and dropped her to the bottom of the sea. Feeling that? That language is taken from Isaiah. But a few commentators, I thought, the commentators seemed to miss the biggest teaching on this subject from Jesus himself. Remember what Jesus said? Whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, whoever causes one of those who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." If you have tonight little children sitting next to you, look at them. Has Babylon caused your children to sin? Has Babylon caused you to sin? Oh, I know you're sinful by nature. That's been dealt with. The Lord has forgiven you and dealt with the sinful nature problem in the cross. I'm talking about Babylon. Here are these children growing up in this world, this violent world. They've got all kinds of things going through their minds. They're developing. They got hormones. They're all the pressures of identity. They're trying to find meaning to life, right? And we as parents, we're working so hard. And if you're a grandparent, you're in the same place right now thinking about your grandkids, aren't you? We're educating them. We're loving them. We're trying to shepherd them. And we know what these kids are all exposed to. How hard is this? We want them to find their identity in Jesus. And boys and girls, I know if you're listening to me right now, this is what we want for you. We want you to find real happiness in Jesus. Salvation. We want you to know this peace. But you're being hit all the time. I think, what will my children struggle with as this keeps going? What will we have to address? I know what I've already had to address. Because the cup of that prostitute is constantly being held out to them. I mean, think about it. If you love your children, shouldn't that bring some amount of righteous anger against this city? You see? This is what's going to lead to the ultimate praise in a minute. It's hard enough with their sinful appetites to train them to see their need for Jesus. And then I have a prostitute knocking at their door? That's the language. Maybe it's just helpful to read Proverbs 7 for a minute, talking about a youth, a young boy, a young man. Listen to this. "Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, 'You are my sister,' and call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. For at the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice." I was looking out one day, and I've seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight in the evening, at the time of night and darkness, and behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She's loud, wayward, her feet do not stay home, now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with a bold face she says to him, 'I had to offer sacrifices, and today I paid my vows. So now I've come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I've found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning and delight ourselves with love.'"
That's all the time we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time for part 2 of this message. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.